Today, Be'ez Hashem, we move on to the seventh parak of Maseches Gittin. Now, the first three dapim of the seventh parak of Gittin are all agadot gemaras about refuos, different types of medications, how to treat different types of illnesses. We're going to skip all of it, but let's just read the Mishnah first. You got to read the Mishnah in order to be able to understand the Gemara that goes past that. So we'll start with the Mishnah on Samach Zayin Amud Beis, and then we're going to jump right ahead to the Gemara on Ayin Amud Beis. That's going to be our plan. So it says in Mishnah, Misha Achzel Kordaikus. If a person was seized by Kordaikus, Kordaikus is some type of a demon that seizes a person, makes a person go out of his mind when he drinks a lot of Yayin Megisa, when he drinks a lot of unfermented wine, which is essentially grape juice. So Misha Achzel Kordaikus Va'amar, and while he's out of his mind, he says, Kisu get li ishti. He tells someone to write a get to his wife, Lo Amar Klum. It didn't have any impact, there is no Shlichus. Amar, if he says kiss forget the ishti, he first says writing it to my wife, and then va'achzu kardaikus, and then he's seized by some sort of demon, v'chazer va'amar lo tichtavenu, and then he decides, and while he's seized by the demon, while he's out of his mind, he says don't write the get. Ein dvarav ha'achronim klum. We don't listen to the last thing he said, meaning he said to write it while he was sane, and then when he went insane, he said don't write it. So we only listen to what he said while he was sane. So we write the get. Nishtatek va'amrlo nichtav get liishtecha. But let's say the person seems to have calmed down, and we say to him, should we not calm down? Nishtatek, the person went mute. We're not talking about achzu kadaikus now. Stam, a new case. If let's say you have a guy who went mute, and then we say to him, hey, should we write a get for your wife? He's never going to tell us to write a get for his wife because he's mute. He's never going to tell us anything. So we say to him, nichtav get liishtecha. Would you like for us to write a get for your wife? V'hirchin barosho, and he nods his head. Both kinoso shlosho pa'amim. So we just check him three times to make sure that he's nodding to the right things, that he actually understands us and is nodding in response to our questions. Im omar alav lav al hein hein, hare elu yichtuv v'yitnu. If he answers no to no questions and yes to yes questions, so we see that he knows what he's talking about, and then when we ask him, should we write a get to your wife? And he shakes his head yes, so then we know that we're supposed to write a get to his wife. That is the Mishnah. Now let's skip ahead to the Gemara on Ayin Amud Beis at the two dots, five lines from the top of Daf Ayin Amud Beis, five lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Amar kisu get liishti v'achzu kardakis v'chazva amar al tichtu v'ein devar v'achronim klum. So the Mishnah said that if a guy, while he was out of his mind, said to write a get for his... I'm sorry. If a guy, while he was sane, said, write a get for my wife, then he went out of his mind, and he said, don't write a get for my wife, we don't listen to the last thing he said because he was out of his mind. We only listen to what he said first, which is to write a get to his wife. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, kosvin v'noslin get li'alter. So Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, we write the get and we give it immediately. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, in kosvin elok she'ishtafen. No, we can't write the get right now because right now he's still out of his mind. So we have to wait till he sobers up, till he gets, the demon leaves him, he becomes normal again, then we could write the get. So again, what happened? A guy, while he was totally fine, said, write a get for my wife. But now he was seized by this demon. So when he was seized by this demon, anything he says, we're going to ignore. But the question is, can we be writing the get while he's still being seized by this demon, while he's still out of his mind? That's a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Reish Lakish says you can write it even while he is still being seized by the demon. Rabbi Yochanan says you cannot. My time with Reish Lakish, why does Reish Lakish think that it's okay to write it while he's in this condition? Because it says that we don't listen to anything he said while he was nuts, so it's okay, we can write it. Rabbi Yochanan would say, "Ein v'dvarav ha'achronim klum dilchi mitzil lo tzarech l'meder m'luchebei." No, all that means is that when he gets normal again, you don't have to ask him again, do you want us to write a get for your wife? His original instructions to write the get are still in place, and we just ignore the fact that while he was insane, he told us not to. But Rabbi Yochanan would say, you still can't actually write it until he gets back into his right mind. You're not allowed to write a get for a guy if he's out of his mind. So, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? What are they arguing about? Why does Reish Lakish think that even while he's insane, you're allowed to write the get? And Rabbi Yochanan think that while he's insane, you're not allowed to write the get. What are they arguing about? So, in order to understand the machlokas, a little bit of background. Background is as follows. Let's say a man tells you to write a get for his wife, and he's so exhausted from the emotional distress, he then takes a nap. Can you write a get for his wife while he's napping, while he's sleeping? Yes, of course he can. You're a shliach, he's of sound mind and whatever. He's sleeping. Sleeping is a normal condition. You're allowed to write a get while he's sleeping. Let's say a guy tells you to write a get for his wife, and then he becomes a shota. He becomes literally clinically insane. He becomes deranged. Are you allowed to write a get and deliver it to the wife while he's deranged? So that, no, then he's a shota, you're not allowed to write a get for a shota, then it doesn't work. So the question that the Gemara is going to explain, what Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh are really arguing about, is when a guy has kordaikos, when he's seized by this demon, do we treat him like someone who's sleeping, you know, a temporary condition like sleeping, or do we treat him like he's a deranged person? That's the issue. Reish Lakish medami le'liyashon, Rabbi Yochanan medami le'lishota. Reish Lakish says he's like a sleeping person, Rabbi Yochanan says he's like a deranged person. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan compare him to a sleeping person? Why not say he's like a sleeping person? So Yashin lo mechusar maisa. Hi, mechusar maisa. Now, the big difference is a sleeping person doesn't need anything to be done to him to fix his problem. You know how he wakes up? He just wakes up. But a person who is oxucodicus needs to go through some sort of therapy. He needs to take some sort of medication in order to get better. So that's why it's a different kind of condition. It's not like sleeping. So ask the Gemara of Reish Lakish Nami Nidnami of the Shota. So why doesn't Reish Lakish consider it like a deranged person? Seems to be very much like a deranged person. And says Gemara, Shota lo sami biyadan. Hai sami biyadan. Because a shota, there's no medicine for. If a person's deranged, he's deranged. But this guy who has kordaikos, there is a medication, which we skipped in the first three blot, but there is a medication for it, namely bisra sumka agumri, to take lean red meat and put it in and cook it on coals, the chamra marka, and to have watered down wine. And that will get him out of the kordaikos predicament. It will get him out of the kordaikos condition, whereas once you're a shota, there's no way out. So main point number one, if a guy makes a shliach to give a get, and then gets kordaikus, Reish Lakish holds, you can give the get immediately, because kordaikus is like sleeping. Rabbi Yochanan holds, you give the get after the guy gets better, because kordaikus is like a shota. You should also know why each one doesn't compare it to the other, right? Why Rabbi Yochanan thinks it's not like a sleeping person, why Reish Lakish holds it's not like a shota, but you know, can't fit all that in the main point. So, Frank the Gemara, Umiyamar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Vam Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, doesn't Rabbi Yudam Shmuel tell us that Shachat Bo Shnayim O Rov Shnayim, Viramas Va'amar, Kisvu Get Lishti? Let's say a guy was just, someone took a sword and chopped his neck, so both of his pipes, the windpipe, the food pipe, were both cut, or even the majority of them were cut, so he can't speak. So he makes a remez to you, he does sign language, and he signs to you, write a get to my wife. Hare elu yichtavu v'yitnu. You're allowed to listen to him and write a get to his wife. Vitanya, and we learned in a braisa, ru'u meguyad, if we see a guy cut up, otsaluv al ha-tsliva, or hanging on gallows, and he's holding by death, v'ramaz v'amar, and he hints to you with his hands, he makes hand motions to you, and he says, kisvu get le'ishti, write a get for my wife, hare elu yichtavu v'yitnu. You can write a get while he's in that condition. So don't you see that it's the same Rabbi Yochanan who holds that when a guy has kordaikos, you're not allowed to write a get for his wife because he's out of his mind. But a guy whose neck is chopped off, a guy who's hanging on the gallows, a guy who's chopped into a million pieces, you're allowed to write a get for his wife. What, you think that guy's in a condition to have a get be delivered for him? So answers the Gemara, yeah, they have nothing to do with each other. Hachi hashta, what does hachi hashta always mean? It's a faulty comparison. Hasam daita tzilusu ukhishuso hu da'aschilebe. When he's chopped up or he's hanging on the gallows, he's of clear mind and reasoning. It's just that he's very weak physically because they chopped his neck off. Hacha daita shagishtahi. But over here, by the guy who has kordaikos, he's physically okay. His mind is messed up. And you can't write a get for someone whose brain is messed up. Says the Gemara, Umiyam or Shmuel Hachi? Does Shmuel really hold this? Because keep in mind, who was Shmuel? It was Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel that said that if he has Shachet Bo Shnayim or Rov Shnayim, that you can write the get, that you can write the get for him, right? So ask the Gemara, does Shmuel really hold this? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shachet Bo Shnayim or Rov Shnayim Ubarach Mi'idin Alav, that if a guy had most of his neck chopped off and he ran away, and that's the last you saw of him, you're allowed to testify in court that he's dead, because there's no way he survived that ordeal. But if you're telling me that he's still alive enough to give a get, so how can you testify that he's dead? You know that that he's able to give a get, so he obviously must still be alive. So, I mean, if you hold that he's able to give a get, you hold that he's still alive, he's still considered to be alive. So how can you testify that he's dead? So what's the obvious answer? Amri, chayhu, v'sofa lamus. Last you saw him, he was alive, but you knew he was about to die. So long as he's alive, he can still do what?
Give a
get. And once he's dead, he's dead. You know he's going to die, so you can testify in court that he's dead. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, that you know for sure he's going to die, elame'ata yehigola al yada. If that's the case, if you chop off by accident someone's you cut his neck by accident, you should, and you didn't see that he died, you don't know what happened for sure, you didn't see that he died, you should still have to go to a near mikvah. Why? Because what did we just say? That you know for sure someone in that condition is going to die. So shouldn't you have to go to a near miklat? Alama Tanya, so why does the Braisa tell me that Shachat Bo Shnayim or Rov Shnayim Harezeinu Gola? That if you shecht the guy, both pipes or most of both pipes, you don't go to a near miklat. So why is that? If you know for sure he's going to die, you should have to go to the near miklat. Answers the Gemara, Ha'itmar Allah Amrav Hoshaya Chayshinon Shema Haruach Lubalto Inami Hu Kirevis Misaso. No, because we're concerned over that. Yes, you know he's going to die, but we're concerned that you're not what actually killed him. Even though you accidentally slaughtered him, we're afraid that maybe what actually killed him, or we think that maybe what actually killed him is either the air getting into the cut and causing an infection, ruach bilbalto, the wind or the air getting into the cut and causing an infection and killing him, or hu kirivas misaso, he was jumping around so much that he ended up bringing his own death closer. And when he contributes to his own death, you don't go to a near miklat. So that's why you don't go to a near miklat. So at the end of the day, you see someone who has rov shnayim, who's been shechted. Can you assume that he's dead already right now? No. If he says to give a get to his wife, do you give it? Yes. Can you assume that he died soon thereafter? Yes. And therefore, can you testify in court a while later that he's dead? Yes. If you're the one that did that to him, do you go to Gullus? Do you go to near Miklat? If you're the one that did it to him?
Depends. So, if he contributed or not.
So we say, you don't go because we're worried, either we're worried that he contributed, or we're worried that the wind somehow contributed to it. So says the Gemara, what difference does it make whether I'm worried if the wind contributed to it, or I'm worried that he contributed to it? Either way, I didn't kill him. So my benai, what's the nafkamina between the two examples that we give of how I didn't kill him? Either ika benai u deshachte bebesed deshisha upirchas. One nafkamina might be if, let's say, I shechted him in a sterile environment and he was jumping around. So if it was a sterile environment, the wind didn't do it. And if he was jumping around, he could have done it. Inami, or the other nafkamina, would be the opposite direction. Deshachte bivra, I shechted him outside in a very unsterile environment, velo pirchas, but he didn't jump around at all. So he was not makari of his own death, but the wind may have been makari of his death in that case. Okay, main point number two. A man who was nishchat rov shnayim, had the majority of both of his pipes cut, all agree he can give a get. Why? Because his mind is clear and he's alive. But you can assume that he will definitely soon die. That's the end of the issue of Kordaikos. Now we move on to the other part of the Mishnah. Remember, the second statement of the Mishnah was, what if a guy is a mute? So he's going to have a hard time telling you to give a get. So what do? You ask him, should we give a get to your wife? And if he shakes his head yes, you give the get to his wife. So we said, well, you should test him first to make sure he understands. So you ask him other questions to see that he understands what you're asking him, and then you could listen to the shaking the head yes to give a get to the wife. So it says, that was the Mishnah. So frek the Gemara, why is that good enough? V'leichush dilma shichya de lav lav nakte. Hinami shichya de hein hein nakte. How's it good enough to rely on the fact that you ask him questions? Maybe he has some sort of spasm where he keeps shaking his head like that. So every time you ask him a question that the answer is supposed to be no, you know, you say, is it light outside now? And he does like that. Maybe it's just a spasm that he has. So, but it's a little bit of a stretch. Or maybe every time it's a yes question, you ask him and he has a spasm like that. So how do you know that you can trust him? So I'm Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, I'm Rav Nachman, Damrina Lebe Serugin. We don't ask consecutive yes questions and consecutive no questions. We keep switching it off. So that way we know it's not just a spasm. So frankly, Gemara V'leichosh Dilma Shukhi De Seruginate. Maybe his spasm is in such a way that it goes B'Serugin, skipping. It goes from that to that, and that to that. So he keeps saying yes to the yes question, no to the no question, just because he's spazzing that way. Is that what spazzing? Is that where the word spaz comes from? I guess, right? Spasm, it's not spasming, right? So I guess, yeah. Okay, so anyway, the new things every day. So Gemara says, no, we don't ask in any sequence. We ask like one no question and then two yes questions. And then two no questions and one yes question. And he keeps getting them right, so that can't be a coincidence. Debei Rav Yishmael Tana, the kinds of questions we ask is we ask about summertime things during the winter and wintertime things during the summer, meaning the kind of no questions that we ask are like, you know, we ask him in August, should I shovel the snow on your walkway, right? Meaning, and if he says yes, then you know he's insane, you know, we know he doesn't get it. And if he says, like, he looks at you like you're crazy and says no, so then you know he gets it, right? So says the Gemara, Mainihu, what kind of questions are these really about summer and winter? Is it about snow? So no, what's it about? If we ask him about coats and linens, meaning, do you want us to get your winter coat, we ask him middle of August? Well, maybe as part of his condition, I mean, he's obviously not physically well, maybe he's cold, maybe that's part of his condition. Doesn't mean that he doesn't know what you're talking about. Or maybe he wants to wear his shorts in January because he's hot, he's warm. That's part of his condition. Rather, what we ask him about is fruits. There were certain fruits that were only available in the summer. Nowadays, we can have all fruits 365 days a year because we import them from wherever. But it used to be that you couldn't have anything whenever you wanted it. So we would ask him about fruits during the summertime or the wintertime, about out-of-season fruits, to be able to figure out if he gets what we're talking about. Main point number three on Ayin Amud Beis. We test the mute guy's head movements by mixing a yes and no questions about seasonal fruits in random order. By mixing in yes and no questions about seasonal fruits in random order. I think that covers it. That covers all the details, right? Okay, two dots at the top of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Kahan Amar Rav. Cheresh sheyachol adaber mitoch haksav. If you have a deaf person who's able to communicate in writing, Kosvin v'nosin get le'ishto, so we can write a get to his wife, right? Based on his command in writing. Amar Rav Yosef, my kamashmon tanina nishtatek varmelo nichtav get le'ishticha v'irkin brosho bodgnoso shol shapam mamra lav lav al hein hein harei yichtav yitnu. What are you teaching us that the Mishnah didn't teach me already? The Mishnah already taught me that a mute guy, you could ask him, and if he shakes his head yes, give the get to his wife. So what is Rav teaching me that I didn't already know from the Mishnah? Rav tells me about a cheresh is a deaf mute. So what's he telling me? The Mishnah already told me that you could have a mute guy. You could write a get to the mute guy's wife. So Amalei Rabbi Zeira, Ilem Ka'amrit, Shiny Ilem. What? You're talking about a mute person. No, a mute person is different than a deaf mute. Yeah. Ditanya, because we lived in a Brisa, Medaber Ve'eno Shomea Zehu Cheresh. If someone can speak but cannot hear, that's a deaf person. Shomea Ve'eno Medaber Zehu Ilem. A person who can hear but cannot speak is a mute. V'zeh v'zeh harein kipichin l'chol devrayim. Both of them are considered fully intelligent people for all halachos. So says the Gemara, so the bottom line is, even though, and let's make this a main point number one, even though the Mishnah taught that an Elaim with Das can get divorced, a mute person who has Das can get divorced. Rav teaches that a Cheresh who can write can also get divorced. Because he's not talking about a mute person, he's talking about a deaf person. Meaning, Rav's additional Chiddush is that even if the guy isn't just mute, but he's also deaf, you can still write a get to his wife. That's Rav's additional Chiddush. Vaiter. So we just translated two words, Cheresh and Elaim. Both of them are concepts. I would circle both of them. Right? Cheresh, again, is someone who cannot hear, but he might be able to speak. And Elaim is someone who cannot speak, but he might be able to hear. So says Gemara, how do we know that our translations are correct? So Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says, Va'ani kecheresh lo eshma, uki'ilim lo yiftach piv. Because the Pasuk in Tehillim says, I am like a cheresh, I'm like a deaf person, in that lo eshma, I cannot hear. Uki'ilim, and I'm like a ilim, in that lo yiftach piv, I cannot open my mouth, I cannot speak. So you see the Pasuk directly translates it exactly the way we translate it, so it works out perfectly. V'iba yiseima, or others say, no, you know how you know ilim means someone who cannot speak? The word Elaim is really an abbreviated form of the words cannot speak in Aramaic. Kadamri Inchi, Ishtakal Milule. Ishtakal Milule, Ishtakal Milule Elaim. Got it? See how that just smoothly transitioned? So that's how we got the word Elaim. So that's how we know that it means he cannot speak.
You just got it. Okay.
Amar Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera says as follows. E kashali, ha kashali. If I have any sort of problem with Rav Kahana's statement, again, Rav Kahana was the one who said in the name of Rav that a cheresh, you're allowed to write a get on behalf of a cheresh. So if I have a problem with Rav Kahana's statement, here's my problem. Ditanya, we have a braisa. Im lo yagid, the pasuk talks about if a person is chayiv shvua se'edus, chayiv to bring a korban for shvua se'edus. If you look in Rashi Dibra Maskel Prat Li'ilim, he has the term shvua se'edus. Circle that term. Shvua se'edus is that that a person says that he doesn't know any testimony, and we don't believe him, so we make him swear that he doesn't know any testimony. And then it turns out that he did know testimony about this case. He's chayiv to bring a korban, right? That's called the korban of shvua se'edus. Let's say when he swore that he didn't know testimony, he didn't actually say words, I swear. We said to him, do you hereby swear that you don't know any testimony? And he shook his head, right? So does that count as a shvua? Does that count that he swore that he didn't know testimony? So the pasuk says, back in the Gemara, Titania, im lo yagid, the pasuk says, pratli ilim she'inu yachal lahagid, which teaches us that a mute person cannot be chayiv for shvua se'edus because he's not able to ever be magid. He can't ever tell. But ask the Gemara, amai ha'yachal lahagid mitoch haksav? Sure he can tell. He just can't tell you verbally, but how can he tell you something? By writing it. So if Rav Kahana is correct, that someone who's able to communicate in writing can have us write a get to his wife, can instruct us to write a get to his wife, well then why can't someone who can communicate in writing be chayiv for shvua se'edus? He's able to communicate in both cases. So Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says totally different. There's a big difference between edus and telling us to write a get to his wife. Edus ka'amrit. Why? You talking about edus? Shiny edus. To be able to say edus, it's different. Rachmana Amar, because the Torah specifically says that to be eligible for edus, mipihem v'lo mipiksavam. That edus has to be given directly from their mouths and not from their written word. Circle that phrase. Mipihem v'lo mipiksavam. Why is the Elaim not going to be chayiv in shvuas edus? Because he's not eligible to say edus in the first place. Why isn't he eligible to say edus in the first place? Because you can't accept edus in writing. Edus has to be given verbally. Why can he instruct us to write a get to his wife? Because there's no halacha that instructions to write a get have to be given verbally. Those can be given in writing as well. Main point number two. Shvuas ha'edus doesn't apply to an elaim, even if he can write, because mipiem velo mipiksavam, edus can only be done verbally, it cannot be done in writing. Period. Meisve yasa gemara, kashem shabot gino sol gittin, kach bot gino sol matanos, Ula Edios Uli Yerushos. Wait a second. You want to tell me that a guy who can only communicate in writing is ineligible for any sort of edus or anything, right? Well, listen to this. The Brisa says, just like we check by asking him all these yes and no questions and look at how he nods his head when it comes to a get, we do the same thing when it comes to masaos umatanos, when it comes to different business transactions, ula eduyos, and when it comes to edus, testimony, ula yerushos, and when it comes to yerusha as well. But katani mias edios! Right, what do we say that when it comes to testimony? We're allowed to rely on his nodding his head. No, that's a very specific type of testimony that we rely on that. That's called Eidus Isha, circle that phrase, Be'edus Isha. Eidus Isha is when, anyone know what's Eidus Isha? When you testify that you know a woman's husband is dead. So we don't want a woman to be in aguna. We don't want a woman to be stuck, not able to get remarried. So if you're the only one that knows that her husband is dead, so we're very lenient on the level of testimony needed to verify that her husband is dead. This is one of the leniencies that we have. That what? Exactly. Mishum aguna akilu barabanan. So it says, okay, great. So that's in terms of edus. But v'akatani yerushos. It also says yerushos. Now, Yerushos is not about making woman aguna, and yet we're relying on that. Isn't that also about Eidos, about Yerusha? Amar Aviyavo, Yerushos Beno Abachar. No, we're not talking about him being made about some other person's Yerusha. We're just talking about trusting him about who his Bechar son is. You see a guy come to town with five sons, and they all look roughly the same size and the same age. You don't know which one is the Bechar. You trust the guy to tell you which one is the Bechar, and we're allowed to give that Bechar, after this man dies, we're allowed to give that Bechar double the Yerusha. But katani miyas masos matanos, my lovely Alma. But it also says you can rely on his head shaking for business transactions. Doesn't that imply that it's about business transactions with other people? Lo, the didei. No, it just means for his own stuff. It doesn't mean in regards to other people. So therefore, there's no real edus that we're ever trusting him on. So main point number three, we accept a mute person's edus for edus isha, and for edus that relates to himself, meaning that's about himself, that's not a real edus. Meisive, yes, the Gemara Vayter, Cheresh lo holchu bo achar emiv zosav, v'yachar kfit zosav, v'yachar ksav yado, ela b'metaltan avalo legitin. This is a very strong question. What do we say on the top of the Amud? That if a guy cannot speak but he can write, you can give a get to his wife based on his written instructions. What did it say over here in the Braisa? Someone who cannot communicate except for in writing, or except for remizos by hinting to us, or in writing, right? You don't listen to anything he says about gittin. You can only listen to things he says about metaltalin, about movable objects. Nothing he says about gittin means anything. So it's directly strong. That this price is directly against what Rav Kahana and Rav said at the top of the Amud. It's as strong as it gets, right? Answers the Gemara Tanaihi. It's in fact a machlokas Tanaim. Titania, Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, to machlokas Tanaim. What's a machlokas Tanaim?
Whether or not a person who cannot speak can write it down.
Excellent. Whether or not a person who's unable to speak but is able to communicate in writing, whether you can give a get based on his written communications. That is machlokas Tanaim. Titania, because we have a brisa. Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, b'med dvar mamurim, b'cherish meikaro. When are we talking about when we say that you can't... You can't write the get. That's only if he was a cheresh his whole life. Aval pikeach v'nischarish. But let's say he was once able to speak and hear and everything, and then he went deaf. So we know that he's a bar das. He's someone who had a certain basic level of das. So who kosei vein chosman? He can give you written instructions, and you can then write the get. You can sign the get. The cheresh meikara lo kishem shekonsu b'remiza kach motzi b'remiza. Ask the Gemara. Wait a second. Why is a guy who's a cheresh meikaro? Why is a guy who was deaf his whole life? Why is it that he can't get divorced? The same way he got married by making he never said harei amukadesh. So he got married with remizos with sign language. Shouldn't he be able to get divorced the same way? If it was good enough to get into the marriage, shouldn't it be good enough to get out of the marriage? And Sigmari ibe ishto hachanami. You're right. If it was a woman that he himself had married that he's divorcing, yeah, then for sure, the same way he got married with Remizos, he should be able to get divorced with Remizos. But hachav b'mayaskinan b'yevemto. But we're not talking about a woman that he married. What are we talking about? What's yevemto? Yiba, meaning it's a woman that who married?
His brother.
His brother married. So he didn't do the wedding. The wedding his brother did, and his brother did it how? Verbally. Speaking. The real way, with speaking. So if you want to end a marriage that began with speaking, then you're going to need to be able to speak, and you can't just be a cherish. That's the case. So says Gemara, wait. Yevamto miman. What do you mean, his yevama? From who? If his brother who died was also a cherish, right, was also deaf, so then that wedding wasn't done with speaking either. So you should be able to divorce her without speaking. No, obviously then we must be talking about where the brother that died was a pikeach, right? Was able to communicate with speech. The Iba Yisema, or maybe we could even say Li'olam Denafle Me'achav Cherish, that even the brother, even when the first brother that married this woman was also a Cherish, why can't I divorce her Biramiza? Ugzera Achav Cherish Atu Achav Pikeach. It's a Gzera that we're not going to let you divorce her Biramiza when the brother was a Cherish, just in case you come to do the same when the brother was a Pikeach. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi Ishtonami. If you're going to make that Gezeira, then shouldn't you make the Gezeira on his own wife also? Let's say he got married as a Cherish. We shouldn't allow him to get divorced as a Cherish, because we should make a Gezeira that he'll come to get divorced even when he got married as a Pikeach. So Yevemto Vivemto Michlefa, meaning he'll come to. Not that he'll come to get divorced even when he got married as a Pekech. This guy was never a Pekech. He'll come to divorce his brother's wife even when the brother was a Pekech. So it says Gemara, Yevemto Bivemto Michlefa, Ishto Bivemto Lo Michlefa. It's likely that a person will get confused between two different cases of Yibum. Yibum where the brother was a Cherish, and a case of Yibum where the brother was a Pekech. Those are easily confused. But to get confused between divorcing your own wife and divorcing your brother's wife, that is unlikely to happen. It's unlikely that someone would make that sort of confusion. So we're perfectly comfortable saying that if the Cherish got married to a woman, he may then divorce her. And we don't think that that's going to lead him to accidentally divorce his brother's wife when his brother was a Pekeach. We don't think that's going to happen. Main point number four. Machlokas Tanaim, whether a Pekeach and his Cherish can divorce Beremiza. Right, we have machlokes tanaim, whether someone who was once normal and then became a cherish can get divorced using remiza, using hints. And main point number five, this is a long one, two possibilities why a cherish me ikaro can't get divorced, even though his kiddushin must have also only been a kiddushin drabanan, it was also only a kiddushin with remizos. What are the two possibilities? Either A, it was he married through yibum of his brother who was a pekeach. He married, the marriage was his brother's marriage, who was a Pekeach. Or even if it was Yibam and his brother was a Cherish, but we make a Gezeira, very good, we make a Gezeira, that he shouldn't be able to get divorced, lest he do the same when his brother was a Pekeach. So Frek, the Gemara now in the bottom line of Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, V'migas v'in a Cherish atu Pekeach, do we make any such Gezeiros of a Cherish atu a Pekeach? Va'atnan, but we have a Mishnah. Shnei achin charashim. Let's say you have two deaf brothers. Nesuin shnei achios pichos that are married to two perfectly normal girls that are sisters. O shnei achios charashos, or you have two deaf sisters. O that are married to the two deaf brothers. O shtei achios, or the two deaf brothers are married to two sisters that achas pikachas viachas chareshas. Now one of them is regular and one of them is deaf. Meaning the bottom line is, two deaf brothers married to two sisters, who could either be deaf, not deaf, whatever combination you want. V'chein, or similarly, shtei achios chareshos, you have two deaf sisters. Nisuos l'shnei achim pikchin, married to two regular guys. O l'shnei achim charashin, or the two deaf guys. O l'shnei achim echad pikeach v'el cherish, or the two guys, one is a pikeach, one's a cherish. So in either case, again, either the case where you have two deaf brothers married to two sisters who are whatever, or a case of two deaf sisters who are married to two brothers who are whatever, not, you know, all possibilities. So the halach is, Hare elu paturos mina chalitza mina yibum. All these people are pata from chalitza and yibum. They don't have to do any chalitza and any yibum. V'im hayu nachrios, and if the girls, the girls were not sisters, they were not at all related to each other, yichnesu v'im ratzu lo tzion yotziu. Then you can marry them if one of their husbands dies, so the second one can't do chalitza because he's a cherish, or she's a charesha, so they're not going to be able to do chalitza, because chalitza involves speaking and hearing, but you can marry them, and then if you want to divorce them, afterwards you can divorce them, right? As a charesh, you're allowed to divorce them. Bottom line is, what do we see? That even though you're a charesh, we let you divorce the person that you got through Yibum. So how do we let you divorce them? I thought we make a gzeira that a cherish can never get divorced, lest you come to think that the cherish can never get divorced through Yibum, lest you come to do it even when the original marriage was bepikchus. So elam echavarta k'tishana meikara. So we say, you know what? Stick with our first answer. Meaning, what did we say in main point number five? We had two explanations of why it is that as a cherish you're allowed to give a get. So it has to be that the brother was a pikeach. That you got married through the yibum of achav pikeach, right? So you have to stick with that explanation, not with the second explanation. Okay, we'll stop there. Just remember, we'll put a big fat period right before Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and quiz on Monday. Shkaya.